All right, it is officially the Trey Lance era. Welcome back, Jim. How you doing?
Pretty good. Training camp's getting ready to open here, and we're just in the first few days of officially NFL training camp 2022. Couldn't be happier. I guess all of the people out there, the conspiracy theorists, can just relax. And go find some other theory about, ancient trees in Antarctica or something like that that they can follow because the whole Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the team. They don't have faith in Trey Lance. He's going to start. It's like, guys, like.
Yeah, that guy, what was it, Monday night, Cal Comey came out with his interview and his podcast. And within about 3 minutes, it was about 90% clear that that was the direction they were going. And then from there, Kyle made it very clear about 2 minutes into his press conference and put that to bed real fast. We're here. The Trey Lance era has begun. The season is off and running. Practice number one was today. I obviously stoked, right? I think just hitting on a few topics to start, being Trey's team, obviously, I think the one interesting thing was, Garoppolo still kind of hanging in the winds, but I'm really happy that he's not practicing or out on the field, right? Like just lingering behind.
So just a couple, like an hour ago, it came out, they officially excused him from training camp. So he is not required to show up. He won't be fined. So he is going to be doing his rehab elsewhere. He's not going to be doing it at the team facility. As a lot of people, that was kind of the one thing that was a little bit unclear. I know they asked that, Kyle and John got asked that in their press conference and they kind of tiptoed around it. The Niners did put out a press release saying that he is excused. So, that was
it's really officially over.
Yeah. I mean, look, they said, they were very clear in their press conference. This regime hasn't done some things great. The one thing that I can appreciate from a no bullshit standpoint is that the amount of leaks that come out from this regime is basically none, right? That's one of the nice things about when the hot take stuff starts flying. Some of these teams, you're like, oh shit, some of this could actually be true,
I mean, the Balky era,
yeah, exactly, or they're taking Mac Jones or whatever it might be, right? There's just not a lot of stuff that happens. I mean, I think the biggest drama, quote unquote, of the offseason was Javon Kinlaw almost putting Grant Cohn in a grave. I mean, other than that, there was all this made up stuff about, this and oh that, and Jimmy's going to be back. And it's like, guys,
maybe use some common sense, Yeah, and I think some of those rumors just kind of naturally pop up because they are a contending team, right? This isn't the Jaguars or something that where they're just irrelevant. And there is no leaks, right? There is no rumors. I mean, obviously the Debo story is big, but he's there. He's, being cordial, met with Kyle. This isn't a Le'Veon Bell standoff, right? They just run their ship a little bit more efficiently. So, of course people are going to stretch and reach for things. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's such a breath of fresh air, not having just constant rumor mill and, chaos in the locker room. You know what I mean?
Some other things from that press conference too. I was very interested in Kyle's confidence and his assertiveness with we're going to start the season and be aggressive. He said it a couple of times.
Stood out to me too.
So, I was listening to the Haberman and Middlecoff podcast, John took it more as John and Guy were talking more about 2019, where they just hit people in the mouth on defense and ran the ball.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a little bit of that. I think obviously Kyle wants to run the ball a lot.
Sure.
But I also think a lot of these fantasy pundits out there and fantasy experts who think Trey Lance is going to run the ball like 10 to 15 times a game. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, no. Yes, it happened one game last year. He didn't know the whole playbook. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to, like, first play of the game, I mean, it might be like a massive play action to Kittle or Ayuk way down the field. Like, yeah, I think that they're going to come out absolutely firing. They're playing on the road. Yeah. They're not going to be conservative. I think they're going to try and be a little bit more aggressive. And I think that Kyle hopefully has done some self-scouting, you know, over the last, you know, over the offseason and seen that, you know, something that you and I both kill him for is in the second half of games when he just shuts it down and goes super conservative. It's what killed the Falcons in the playoffs in that Super Bowl when they let the Patriots come back. It's what really hurt the Niners in the Super Bowl, and it's what, quite frankly, hurt the Niners. You know, now the NFC Championship last year, you can make a good argument that they were never really in it. But I don't think that he was 100% confident being aggressive with Jimmy. I think he's going to let Trey just kind of – I think he's just going to run the offense. And if it's a disaster, it's a disaster. But, like, they have no other choice at this point.
Yeah, I mean, parlaying off of that one, the one quote that I think really stuck out to me in addition was, like, I think our team is in a great spot to turn it over to a quarterback who hasn't played. And I kind of look at that as, like, he said it, like, this is the best team that he's had, right, top to bottom. Like, the defense is going to be, if they stay healthy, top five defense, in my opinion. They've got a running game. They've got veterans and, like, blue-chip guys at every position, right? So it's like, dude, he's got a new toy that can, you know, like, open things up for him, you know? And, yeah, he's not going to go out there and throw it 50 times a game. That's not who Kyle is, even, you know, with Matt Ryan. You know, they had a great running game back in Atlanta, you know, but they're going to take shots, like, absolutely going to take shots. And I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air, you know, from the offense that we normally watch, right, where it's like, if the run game's going, we're going to be great. If it's not, we're in trouble, like, because we don't have that explosive 60, 70-yard touchdown in the bag, like, consistently.
100%. And whether it was Trey or Jimmy, if they're not running the ball and you're forcing Jimmy to throw the ball 35 to 40, well, we've seen what happens when that happens. It's not good, right? Yep. So, like, if you're forcing Trey to do that, it's not going to be good because that's not the game plan. That's not the way that this offense works, right?
Well, now the aggressive comment too, right? It's like, you're taking shots. That's going to open up the running game. It's going to loosen teams up. And second of all, I look at it as, like, if you get a lead early in the game, you don't have to throw it 50 times, right? With our defense, 100%. Like, you come out, you score a touchdown the first drive, you get, you know, three and out, score, and then you get a turnover and you're up three touchdowns, like, 5 minutes into the second quarter. Like, that changes the whole dynamic of, like, having to rely on Lance to carry the team, you know?
100%. But it's like one of those things too. Like, everyone's excited, you know, about year two of Trevor Lawrence. People are excited about Zach Wilson. Like, I look at, you know, all the other quarterbacks in that class, and it's an extremely deep quarterback class, right?
Yeah.
You've got Justin Fields, you know, you've got Mac Jones, which, you know, say what you want about Mac Jones. But out of all of them, if you go and look at the position that each of them are in, I mean, Trey Lance is by far set up for the most success out of any of the other quarterbacks in his class. He's got three viable wide receiver options. He's got a tight end that might be the best tight end in the entire league.
The best left tackle protecting him.
He's got the best left tackle. He's got a solid rest of the line. There's some questions and there's going to be some battles, but look, they're going to find someone to play center. They're going to find somebody to play right guard, right? McGlinchey, you know, whatever, it's a contract year. You're going to hope that he plays, but he's a serviceable right tackle. He's not Quame Harris, you know, from a few years ago. Like,
that's an name,
you know, I mean, we thought that's,
oh, we got a freeze up. Yeah, no, I hear you, man. And, like, to your point, like, he is set up in the best situation possible across the board offensively, You back there?
I'm here.
And the best, you know, coaching staff, right? Like, I mean, Kyle was just highly regarded as a top five coach, you know, in the league, and especially when it comes to offense, right? Like, I'm with you. Like, of all the second year quarterbacks, he has it on a silver platter. Like, the Ferrari is started and the keys in the ignition. Like, all you got to do is drive, buddy. But, you know, and you're going to be fine. So, no, I'm with you. I'm stoked, you know. And again, Garoppolo, we'll see what happens there and how it goes down. But he's out of the way, which I'm happy about. Like, the last thing I wanted was him to be on the sidelines. Bad practice. He's getting reps. He looks great. And all of a sudden, like you talked about, like, narratives get started. Rumors get started. Controversy begins. And it's like, we just – there's none of that. It is out of the way, out of sight, out of mind, which is awesome. So,
yep.
Anything else with Trey and just the kind of the situation?
No, I mean, I'm just at the point where everyone has their opinion about Trey. I'm just excited to get to the season, to week one, to actually watch him play. I mean, everyone wants to make decisions about how he's going to play after him playing, you know, one game and then a couple of snaps here and there. Like, this is a young guy who's been compared to the physical traits of a Josh Allen, somebody similar. I'm just excited to see what happens. It could be a complete disaster. I mean, who knows, right? But we're not going to know until we actually see him play. And based on what, you know, some of the things that I saw last year when he was playing, especially toward the end of the year, I'm fairly optimistic that it's going to go pretty well. Is it, you know?
Breakup again. All right. So I think with that, you know, I think moving on, you know, we're both excited. Like, I think he's set up the best possible way. He is rolling, you know, and I think one of the interesting things that I heard today too about, you know, the big criticism that has been coming out has been around like his accuracy, right? Jimmy back there? No. So it's been around his accuracy. And when you look at that, like, you know, people were talking, Tom Brady had a 65% completion rating. Matt Stafford's in the 60s. Like, you don't have to beat Tua. Or, you know, some of these other guys to be effective and take shots and hit the big play. So when you look at that, like, he, you know, I was just talking to Jim, like, as far as like the accuracy criticism, it's like, dude, Tom Brady had a 65% accuracy rating. Like, he doesn't need to be, you know, pinpoint on every single throw. Like, he's going to make mistakes, and that's fine if he brings kind of the home run ball with him, so to speak, you know, like, and hitting big plays and taking the top off the defense. Again, I don't think with our defense, he's going to need to be, you know, an MVP to get this team into the playoffs, right?
No, like, not at all.
He's going to make mistakes, and that's fine.
And if he gets to that point, then I think the whole team's in trouble, right? Yeah. Where you're having to put games on Trey's back.
For sure.
I mean,
well, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, Mahomes in year two, I'm not saying he's going to be Mahomes, but like, he picked it up very quick. It may take 3-4 weeks. It may take 7 weeks. It may take 10 weeks. But this is the direction they've gone, and he's got the tool set. He's got to see the live bullets. And like you said, let's just get him out there, and like, we'll evaluate when we see it, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. We'll move it on. There's, you know, been rumors kind of leaked out as far as like Debo's contract and things like that. Do you think that Jimmy needs to be gone for them to ink Debo? Like, do you think there's something in place?
I think it's more of a Parag. I think it's more of a Parag thing that he wants Jimmy's salary off the books before they do this.
Sure. Not backload the credit card, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, like we kind of talked about last week, like, he's there, he's at camp. You know, even if he was not doing this hold in thing, which I absolutely can't stand that term. Would he be practicing anyway? Probably not. I mean, his style of play, he just takes such a beating throughout the year that you just want to keep him as fresh as possible, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I think that a deal will get done fairly quickly. You know, we're July 27th here. So it's not like it. I mean, we're not playing a game
one's not till nine. Yeah, not till September 11th is week one. Like the game.
Yeah. So we're full 6-7 weeks away from game number one. So, you know, would I like to have him signed right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody would, right? But I don't think it's a huge concern. He's there. He's with the team. You know, I just think it's funny that, like, I saw a tweet come out like, oh, DK Metcalf joins this list of players that are holding in. It's like, dude, you guys really just need something to tweet because that's the biggest. Yeah, if a guy doesn't have a contract and he's not happy with his contract, he's there with the team. He's not going to practice. It's not like the craziest thing in the world.
He's under contract. So he's in meetings. Like, he's doing everything. He's just not playing on the field, you know? And, I mean, obviously with Kyle's comments, like, they know the deal. Like, they get it. He's
not. It's not.
They didn't expect. Like, there's nothing they didn't expect, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Like, they've clearly had the conversation with him before. Like I said last week, I'm sure that they've shown him the deal, like, hey, look, here it is, it's ready, this is what we're gonna offer you, like, don't worry, we just need to get this Jimmy thing taken care of. And they even said it in the press conference, like, did we anticipate Jimmy being here right now?
Yeah,
no, but he needed to have that surgery and get healthy before, you know, he could go find his next opportunity, right? So, like, the whole thing, I think, was just made a little bit more than anything. So, I mean,
big time.
He's there. Debo's there at practice. He's with the team, and that's really all I care about.
Yep. I'm right there with you. On to kind of the next headline, I guess. You know, obviously, you just mentioned his name. Mike McGlinchey, Javon Kinlaw, Al Shazier, all three cleared of injury, practicing today. I know they said they're going to take it easy with those three. I mean, for me, I talked about it on the last one, but Kinlaw is just so key to this team, you know, as far as being healthy. I mean, all three of those guys are. But, I mean, they are coming into camp, knock on wood, just in a good spot, like, you know, injury-wise and just, like, the situation. Like, dude, their starting quarterback from last year is hanging around and backed up, and there's, like, still no storylines. Like, it's just hopefully it stays that way as far as smooth sailing. But it's good to see the health-wise of most of these guys feeling pretty good. You know, I think Jason Verrett's like the only major guy that's on PUP, you know, to start.
Yeah, I mean, with those guys, I think that the Kinlaw pick, I mean, I think as long as Kinlaw is just on the field, he doesn't need to be the next Nick Bosa. He doesn't need to be the next J.J. Watt. The Niners just need him on the field playing.
Yeah.
And that'll be a positive.
He's so big. If he can just cause some kind of pressure and havoc and take some double teams here and there, it's massive. Like, that's what they want, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they just need him on the field. And I mean, as long as he's on the field, I think it's a win. Al Shire, I mean, obviously a big special teams player, backup linebacker. Like, he's an important player, right?
Yeah, I mean, he broke the starting lineup last year and had a really good year when, you know, Greenlaw was hurt and, you know, never really relinquished it. So I know they're, you know, we play in a league where nickel is like the base formation now, but
yep.
He plays a ton, you know.
And I mean, he is good at covering the pass.
Yeah.
I think he's a little better than Greenlaw at pass coverage as well. Which is, you know, probably why he plays a little bit more, especially in certain situations. But it's good to have him back. And then McGlinchey, like I said, contract year.
Yeah.
He knows that he has to do everything in his power to play well. I'm hoping that, you know, he did the work over the offseason to correct a lot of his inefficiencies. But we'll just have to see, you know. But
he's still, like you said, a very quality starter in a league that is desperate for offense alignment. You know,
100%.
He's not Trent Williams, but that's okay. There are not many of those guys out there, right? So,
no.
Yeah. Cool. On to kind of the next headline that came out today. Niners finally released Dee Ford. That experiment is down the toilet drain, so to speak. I mean, the instant thought that like popped into my head was like, was this the worst player acquisition of the Lynch Shanahan era? And
wow,
I include that with draft picks. So, I mean, for me, it's between him and Solomon Thomas, right? Obviously, like a top five pick.
That's I mean, people will point to the money thing, and I mean, who cares? Like, they paid him whatever.
Yeah,
we traded a second round draft pick for a guy that basically didn't play much. I think that the Solomon Thomas gaffe, even though they fleeced the Bears by going back one spot and then they completely screwed the pick, yeah, I think that's a bigger deal because of the people that went in that draft, right? Yeah. So the 2019 draft, I mean,
what was it, the McCaffrey draft? And I know he's, you know, had kind of a rockiness lately, but Jamal Adams was in that class.
I mean,
there were some dudes.
Literally, I mean, if you go back and take a look at it, I mean, it's like, that was 2017.
So let's see, we had 2017. Okay.
Yep.
Pulling it up, we have here, let's see, yeah, so Myles Garrett obviously went first, Mitch, but yeah, I mean, Jamal Adams, Christian McCaffrey, Mahomes, Marshawn Lattimore, Deshaun Watson, Marlon Humphrey, like
Mike Williams,
Tre'Davious White, TJ Watt,
like John
were some dudes.
John Ross, pretty bad. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Deshaun Watson.
I mean, even like pick seven, like he hasn't been, you know, an all pro, but Mike Williams for the Chargers is like a pretty damn good player.
100%. If you scroll down this list and like the Lions share Jonathan Allen, defensive lineman, Adoree Jackson, right? OJ Howard. That was kind of a wild pick. OJ Howard going at 19. You know, but like Jared Davis,
yeah,
Charles Harris, Evan Ingram, like Garion Conley, not great. Jabril Peppers, like the majority of guys that were taken after him, Tre'Davious White, right? I mean, like Taco Charlton, Njoku.
That was a brutal first draft for the Niners because if you don't remember,
TJ Watt.
Yeah, it's kind of good at TJ Watt. You're
looking at an end pass rusher. Like, if you thought that was, you know, a position of need, I mean, holy smokes, right?
Imagine
like,
TJ Watt and Nick Bosa on the same team. That would be a.
You think they could use him? So it's a fair question to ask, but I think that anytime you botch a top five pick, that can legitimately change the outcome of your franchise.
Totally.
I mean,
Twitter agrees with you. I put out a poll this morning and 50% of the votes are on Solomon Thomas.
I mean,
28% have the D Ford. And then I threw other out there and that's got 21%. So I'm not sure what they're necessarily referring to. One guy dropped Reuben Foster is like, you know, potentially one being that they traded back up into round one to get him. I guess, but I'm with you. Like a top five pick is just, I mean,
yeah, that's pick 31.
Yeah, you're a top five pick, pick three. You're hucking a gold bar just into the Pacific. Just,
I mean, even Leonard Fournette, right? Who the Jags took at number four.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, that's a wild pick in all itself, but it just goes to show you that like. He's still been an impact player,
yeah.
You know, on now who has now a Super Bowl ring, right? And Solomon Thomas is a guy that is probably going to be going back to Stanford to get his master's degree because he's not going to be in the league anymore.
He's playing. I think he's a backup for the Broncos now or the Raiders, one of the two. But
he's
a backup. He's a rotational guy, third overall pick, like
number three overall.
You hope for a little bit more.
I mean, it's fair, but it's not to diminish the D Ford thing because look, that was bad.
Yeah, totally.
They've had some. The Niners this regime, it's either been great draft pick or mm-hmm. absolutely horrible. They haven't drafted many just like serviceable players, right? Like,
yeah,
oh, let's trade up into the third round and take CJ Beathard.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Like, let's trade away a second round pick for a guy who's been continuously injured. Like, when totally. You could have just went and found, you know, hopefully somebody else in that 2019 draft that yeah. they traded away that pick for, you know.
Yeah.
It's bad. I don't think it's as bad as the Solomon Thomas thing, but it's definitely a solid second.
Totally. Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. But yeah, another one, you know, the D-Ford, the Garoppolo, like finally kind of cut and bait there, moving on, changing the page. Like you got to give the regime some credit there. I know they've hung on to him for a while to see if something will spark, but it's time to move on, you know, and I think this team's kind of ready for that. So, yeah. Next up, I had on here, I don't know if I shared this topic with you beforehand, so I'll get you your candid answer here, but the reports today were obviously with Debo out, Ayuk just looked the part. Like the dude just looked freaking awesome. Like on the field, they said, you know, he was kind of having fun talking smack to the defense. Like, I guess when he wasn't in, he was kind of the guy going over and helping coach up guys like Danny Gray and some of the rookies, you know, on things. And so like, it looks like he's really taking like that next step. Do you think we see possibly a better season out of Ayuk than Debo? What's the likelihood or odds of that from a receiver standpoint?
Like, are we talking about just like overall touchdowns? Like, what are we looking at?
You're going to judge it, right? But like catches, yards, touchdowns, like those three categories, like, do you think it's possible for him to overtake, not necessarily overtake, that's a bad word for it, because Debo's going to do a lot of different things, but like as wide receiver one almost, while Debo's like utility man number one, you know what I mean? He's going to do it all. But do you think like he can emerge as a number one?
I think that Ayuk has a legitimate chance. And more than just like a outside chance to have 10 or more touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
People are going to just look, he's going to be the guy that once the Niners get into the red zone, it's going to be pay attention to Kittle, pay attention to Debo. Ayuk and Jennings are going to be the guys that are going to have to win one-on-one battles and
big time
and produce. This is year three for Ayuk. I think that he has really enjoyed this off season, and I think he kind of gets it now. I think he's probably matured quite a bit, which I think is something that this organization kind of forces you to do. A lot of us didn't agree with how he was treated at the beginning of the season last year, but we're not there every day. And maybe that's what this guy needed, to a little bit of a wake up call. Like, hey man, yeah, we took you high in the draft. Yeah. We have high aspirations of you, but NFL stands for not for long. And if you're going to, and if you're going to dick around and you're not going to take this shit seriously, you're not a quarterback, dude. Like you will, we'll just cut your ass. Like you'll just be gone. And we'll just move on to the next guy. You're not 6'6", you're not this like massive burner, right? You're a very talented athlete, and you just got to get with the program or get the hell out. And he obviously responded positively to that, had a great end of the year last year. Great to see him working with Trey. I've always been a big believer in Ayuk. The Niners are not going to be people that, like you and I said, pass a whole bunch, but you know, he's got a chance. You know, seven to eight touchdowns, I don't think is out of the realm of the possibility at all. You know, and I think that this year, based on Kyle's comments, I don't think that the Niners are just going to throttle back on people. I think that they're going to kind of keep the hammer down a little bit. And while they might try and protect Debo's snaps a little bit in games that they're winning, Ayuk is just going to be out there the whole time. right? They might try and shield Kittle a little bit. They might try and shield Debo a little bit, but Brandon's just going to be out there the whole time, and he's going to have a really good chance to produce a great season.
Totally. Well, and I think that's actually a really good point you bring up, because, like, you talked about it earlier. We were talking about, like, you know, Kyle's comments about being aggressive early, right? Like, I do think there's something to – I mean, the Bears are going to be bad, right? Like, the Bears are going to be not a good football team this year. Then they get 100%. Seattle's going to be trash. Like, maybe the worst team in the league, right? I mean, I saw today Geno Smith was taking QB1 snaps over Drew Lock. It's like, good God. DK's holding out. Like, what is going on up there? But to that point, like, I think that's part of what Kyle's talking about with the aggressiveness thing. Like, how do you build up Trey's confidence in this offense to, like, trust Trey? Like, I don't know. Maybe you come out and you just kick the ever-living shit out of both of those teams to start. You know, you're putting up 35, 42 points. Then you head into Denver and you head into a little bit of a gauntlet with, like, Denver, LA, you know, and it's like,
yeah, but then you get, good,
you know,
then you get Carolina, then you get Atlanta, you know, then you hit
a little bit of a gauntlet. That middle stretch of the schedule is going to be a tough one. Like, Kansas City on the road with the Rams, you do get the bye, but then you go Chargers, Cardinals, Saints, Miami, Tampa.
The positive thing there is you do have you have the bye, and then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row at home.
At home. Yeah, you get Tampa, Miami, New Orleans, Arizona, and LA all at home. That's insane. I don't know the last time I've seen that.
So yes, it's a difficult schedule.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, it's one of those things. Well, I think the Arizona game is actually the Arizona game in Mexico.
Oh, that's in Mexico. That's right.
So you got to travel a little bit for that. But,
sure,
you know, you're home versus Tampa, then you're at Seattle. You stay on the West Coast. You're home versus the football team. Then you're at Vegas. And then you're at home versus Arizona to end the season. So, like, they're playing tough teams, but it's going to be in, like, not really, like, super hostile environments, right?
Like you said, if you can come out and have a great start, you know, let's say you go 2-0 versus Chicago, Seattle. Denver's not going to be an easy game, but it's winnable. I mean, LA is going to be tough. Let's just say that's toss up. I mean, then you got Carolina, Atlanta. I mean, you could be, like, 5-1.
Yeah.
You know, heading into that gauntlet. Right. And it's like,
easy.
I think that's part of why, you know, the aggressiveness early on just makes a ton of sense. Like, don't come out and baby Trey, you know? Jim dropped off again. Cool. So yeah, I'm with you. I think the first 8 weeks of the season are massive, like always, you know, that's not breaking any news here, but I do think, Ayuk's going to be a major focal point of this offense, and you can't deny obviously working out with him. I'm just saying, Jimmy, and you just can't deny the Ayuk factor, you know, of like working out with him all offseason. There's obviously a rapport, you know, there. That's not going to diminish anything about Debo Samuel in this offense, but I think Ayuk's going to be a major focus.
Yeah, and I think that Ayuk needs that more than Debo, right?
The rapport piece, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Debo is the kind of guy that's like, look, I don't really care who's throwing me the ball. Just throw me the fucking ball and I'll just do my thing, right?
Yeah.
Ayuk is somebody who's still finding confidence, still finding the exact type of player that he is on this team, still trying to kind of carve out an actual role. But now he has built a relationship with the quarterback of the future. And yep. I mean, I think that there is quite a bit to be said for that, right?
Totally. All right. I think we're just going to wrap up here kind of early, obviously day one of camp, but you kind of touched on it a little bit, but you said you had a little bit of a bone to pick. We think we each do here. There's someone that you fanatics expert. I'll just turn this over to you and let you.
So yeah, I mean, it's not just one person either. Like I don't understand a lot. I mean, obviously you and I play quite a bit of fantasy football, right? I have no idea where these people are getting the fact that Shanahan wants to use a running back by committee. He's been forced to in the past.
Sure.
But when given the chance, I mean, the last half of the season, Eli Mitchell averaged like 22 and a half carries a game, even when they were losing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they get rid of that. So a few running backs have now exited the team. You've got Eli Mitchell, who I don't care what anybody says. If you don't think that he's going to open the year. Now, look, if he gets injured, whatever, he's the starter. He's going to get 20 carries a game. And if you think you're otherwise, and if you think that Trey Lance is like phantom goal line rushing, that he's going to call his number all the time, like Lamar Jackson or something, that's just not going to happen.
The criticism last year was like, they were riding Eli Mitchell so hard that he got banged up as a rookie.
Yes. You
know, like that's almost more, that, not almost, that is more of the criticism, you know, like, I mean, they kind of pivoted. It was riding Debo, you know, in 19 that year, like it became pretty clear about midseason. That was Raheem Mostert's job. And
yeah,
they did not waver from that. Like that was his job. I'm with you. Like, of course, like he's not Derrick Henry, but like, dude, he rides guys. Like
he would much rather. And the way he called it, like, if you go back and look at just the last few years with the Niners, the way that he calls his offense, the play action and his plays work best when you're not tipping your hand like, oh, it's third down and I'm bringing in my third down passing back that like on a third and four, like there's no fucking shot that this guy's getting the ball on a zone stretch. Right. So like it's more advantageous for the team to have a three down back. Most of the time, obviously, there's going to be other running backs that play, right? Yeah. But
he's not running a three back committee back there.
No, like, and if you look at where Eli Mitchell's getting drafted, like he's getting drafted after guys that are in established committees, like Miles Sanders, right? Like they've made no bones about like, look, we're cool with running three guys. We don't care. Gainwell, Sanders. Boston Scott, like they give Boston Scott goal line carries. Like he's shorter than Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
Right. And they get, and you know, Eckler does great on the goal line and that's fine. But like when we're talking about fantasy here, I have no idea. Like finally Jake Seeley said it on Pat Mayo. They were doing their running back rankings tier. He's the only one that I've heard say like, hey, look, like I don't know what anybody's talking about, but if Eli Mitchell is healthy, he's going to get 20 to 24 carries a game every single week. And, you know, they drafted Davis Price because they have zero confidence in Trey Sermon. And I think Trey Sermon, quite honestly, unless he has some sort of incredible camp, I think he's going to get cut because there's no way that
last week
there. I mean, and it just kind of keeps, you know, solidifying the more and more I think about it. Like there's no way that they're going to keep all of these running backs. He makes the most because he was a second round pick out of all these running backs. Like,
no, you're right. I mean, he will ride the guy until proven otherwise, right? Whether that's injury, whether the guy's tired, not performing, but like, this is Eli Mitchell's job until he shows otherwise or something happens, right? So,
Kyle Shanahan gave one of the worst running backs in NFL history, Alfred Morris, 23 and a half carries a game with the Redskins. Okay. and it's only because for the pure simple fact that Morris knew the scheme. He knew that he wasn't going to be, you know, tipping or anything like that. He could pass protect. And that, I mean, the zone stretch is not like it doesn't take a great, great, great running back to be prolific in that offense, right? And I think Eli Mitchell
running style. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think Eli Mitchell is a pretty damn good running back. And I think that's also why they drafted Davis Price, is because he is a pretty prolific zone runner. That's what LSU runs. Right. Yeah.
So, and he's a bigger back, right? So it's like that would make sense. Like, don't call that a committee if you're gonna bring a guy in on, you know, second and two from the goal line. Like, that's not a committee, you know.
No,
like you don't want Eli Mitchell running, you know, ISO up the guard's ass. Like the guy's not huge. Like
So, or you know, my argument is that I think Eli Mitchell will get those second one on the goal line. I think that you bring a Jeff Wilson and a Davis Price to run a lot similar to like what the Carolina Panthers did in bringing in Dante Foreman.
Right.
So they don't beat McCaffrey up in between the 20s. Right. Yep. If you're on the, you know, the minus 38 and it's third and four, like shit, like, just give Dante Foreman the ball and let's see if he can can get those 4 yards for us. And if he doesn't, he gets smacked around. We save some banging on McCaffrey, right? I think that's really more the reason. But, I mean, I think Sermon's out. I definitely think that, you know, if you're – I'm drafting a lot of best ball leagues right now. I think you can take Eli Mitchell where he's going and you're going to get mass production out of him as long as he stays healthy. Right.
Yeah.
So that just like, I just think it's fantasy analysts just making up these storylines, just like the Trey Lance is going to run the ball multiple, like, oh, Trey's gonna, like, do you guys watch film? Trey's not a very good runner.
No, he's not Kyler. Like, that's not his.
He's not even Josh Allen. No, he's like a big, like, lumbering dude where, like, yeah, he's athletic and, like, yeah, he can.
Yeah.
I think he's more similar, like, his movement wise to, like, Burrow. Right.
Yeah, I would say probably more like a Herbert, you know, like he can break and then like he can run, like he can pick up first downs and 10, 15 yard clips.
Sure. Like, so, I mean, so can Burrow, so can Herbert.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
I think he's more closer to those guys than like
I agree.
Josh, the way that Josh Allen runs, because Josh Allen can outrun like corners and like linebackers and shit.
Yeah. He's not Trey, Josh Allen. Come on.
Trey's not doing that.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. All right, last thing I just want to touch on before we break here. Can we stop with the whole reporting of statistics in practice thing? Like, I understand if you want to just call it out to say he was pretty good today, right? Like, he was super efficient, like 10 to 12 in team or whatever. But, like, do beat writers understand that, like, a lot of this is, like, we're going to run things and put people in situations that they would never usually run into to practice because that's what it is. Like, I'm going to run a coverage specifically aimed to like have this guy screw up so he doesn't do that in September.
No, because most of these guys, Vinny, they've never gone through a football practice. They've never been in the meetings in a concept. I mean, it's just like when I go out and play golf by myself and I play two balls, you know, I might shoot 78 with my first ball and I might shoot 68 with my second ball. Well, it's like, well, yeah, I got to hit that second shot, you know.
It drives me crazy.
I mean, of course the second ball is going to be better, right? You screw something up, you rerun the play. The cornerback knows that it's coming already. And a lot of times the coaches don't even give a fuck if he gets it intercepted. They're just looking that he make the right decision based on the play design, right?
Yeah. Well, so like, again, like, hey, like I would bet a fairly significant amount of money. There are plays when they are drawing them up in practice, like pre-practice, right? They're writing up their script of what they're going to run in team. That Kyle is telling D'Amico, I want you to run this. Because I want to confuse him and like mess him up. And like, I want him to throw a pick. He may never see that in a game or like in a game, we are going to pivot to, you know, we're going to audible to play two, right? Like when you see this coverage, I want you to run it and you're going to stick and run it because I want you to see like why we will audible, right? Like those are all learning moments. Like that's what you're doing. Like you don't go out there to practice to be like, ooh, let's go 12 for 12 with 6 touchdowns and be perfectly efficient. Like, that's not how these guys think and why they're doing this.
The only relevant practice stats that I would care about are, like, fumbles for running backs.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, we're just asking you to carry the ball. And if, like, you're legitimately fumbling in practice, like, that's a concern. But the quarterback shit of like, well, he threw 4 interceptions today. And it's like, dude, who gives a flying fuck?
Well, and again, it's simple to break it down for someone. Like, if you see man coverage, when you have this play, you are going to audible. But in practice, we are going to run this because I want you to get experience in the
yes.
And you know,
he doesn't have a lot of experience. He needs to have teachable plays on film so they can review them, right? He's not going to play a ton in the preseason. Yeah. So, like, you know, just get ready, Niners fans, for the, like, oh, Trey threw 5 interceptions in practice today.
It drives me nuts, dude. I almost lost it today already. And it's like, again, if you want to call it out, whatever, right? Like, he was 9 of 12. But then you have, like, beat writers arguing with each other on, like, their stats was different and, like, one guy's talking like, well, why was Nate Sudfeld more efficient in the red zone? It's like, I'm going to snap. Like, they're I'm going to cool. absolutely lose my mind.
So, like, so they got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo, who got them to a Super Bowl and an NFC championship, and they're going to go to Nate Sudfeld because Trey's throwing too many picks in practice? Like, what are we talking about here,
guys? Well, and, like, here's the perfect example, too, right? Like, let's say you have a money play, 3rd and 5 or something like that on the goal line, okay? Like, if you have your play call, wouldn't you think, like, Kyle's going to run up to, like, Ayuk and be like, hey, I want you to go down and, like, pretend to trip. I just want to see how Trey reacts here. You're probably not going to trip in the game. You're the primary receiver. I want to see how he reacts if this does happen, right? Like, it's all about putting him in an uncomfortable situation. It's like in spring training when a pitcher gets lit up and then everyone's like, oh, my God, like, this guy doesn't have it anymore. It's like, no, dude, he went out there and only threw curveballs. Yeah. He was just working on his curveball. He didn't care about how many runs he gave up. He literally threw 42 curveballs. Like,
yeah.
He wasn't out there trying to, like, get his ERA down. Like, he was just working on his pitches.
He literally does not give a fuck.
It's just unbelievable, dude. Like, it just drives me nuts. And I'm going to be the biggest advocate on Twitter. Like, I'm going to actually, like, be calling people out and tagging them and just, like, just absolutely destroying people.
Well, it's the worst because it, like, it makes, like, stupid, like, uneducated fans think that that's important. And then people are like, oh, yeah. Did you see that you threw picks in practice? And I'm like, yeah, who gives a flying fuck what? Like, I don't care, guys.
Right. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So, because there's just zero context to it. It's just the stat line. And it's like, okay, like, sure. In October when, you know, they're in Carolina and you want to call it just a stat line, be my guest in a real game, you know. But, like, what are we doing here, dude?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Or, you know, like today, for instance, 9 for 11. And it's like, you mean in shorts and 7 on 7. Like,
yeah, I just don't care. It's like, so dumb. Like, those are things that I just actively just scroll right past. Cause, like, there's,
I can't do it. I'm going to fight the evil that's out there, Jim. I think it's destiny.
But like these beat writers and stuff, they need something to report.
I get it.
They have to have something to write. And they think that irrelevant stats are that, and they're just not. Like, if you want to tell me that, you know, hey, the new draft pick, Tyrion Davis-Price, had 3 fumbles today during full team sessions, like, okay, that's information I'd like to know. Or maybe it's Trey Sermon or whoever it might be. Like, that's legitimate information I'd like to know, because that really doesn't change for a running back. But for a quarterback, the whole point of practice is to confuse them so that way they can teach them, especially a guy like Trey. Like, okay, like, even a guy like Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, they're going to do everything they can to try and screw him up in practice so he can practice.
That's where Mahomes probably works on his, like, weird-ass sidearm passes and stuff, because it's like, hey, if I can do it here, you know, and hit this corner pass across the field, like,
totally.
And maybe attempt it in the game, you know?
Totally.
Like, it doesn't just come out of nowhere, guys. So, all right, that's all I got. You got anything else?
No, man, that's it. You know, obviously super happy. I hope that they at least trade Jimmy to try and get something back. I think he's too valuable of an asset to just cut outright. And I think that they probably have a deal in place, or 1 or 2 of them already, and they're just kind of waiting to finalize it.
Yeah. I mean, it could last a couple of weeks, and, you know, they could just be sitting back going, odds are going to tell me that someone's going down a quarterback in this league. And when they do, Maybe that fifth or sixth round pick becomes a three. You know, I don't know.
I think that your call of him going to the Steelers is, I think it's.
You mean because Mitch was already getting booed day one after two passes today? Steelers fans are in a good spot.
It is Mitch Trubisky, so I don't really know what people were expecting, but.
I just love the headline so much. Two passes. People are like, put him, pick it. Oh, man, my God. I love it so much. Well, football is back. All right, buddy. That's pretty much it for me. I'm going to practice next Friday, so maybe we'll lock in that night or something that afternoon, and we'll do a Friday.
Very nice. Report. Yeah, that works for me, and we'll Vinny will have boots on the ground, so we'll see what he saw.
I'll be there. I'll make sure I shout out our favorite beat writers while I'm out there. But until then, definitely give us a thumbs up or a review. Subscribe if you like what we hear. That's it, Jim. Sayonara, my friend.